Discipline, accountability, and servant leadership are so important, and those are key factors to building resilience, self-discipline, mental toughness, and grit.
Welcome to the Leading Edge Podcast, your source of insightful and inspirational conversations to help you and your program achieve more. Today, we're talking to Paul Jones, an athletic director at Sunny Hills High School in California, who, in addition to growing his athletic department, is currently pursuing his PhD in organizational leadership with a really interesting area of focus in resilience and servant leadership. Let's get to it. In your PhD work, you're focused on building resilience in student athletes through servant leadership. Could you start with just what got you interested in that topic in the first place?
So I've had a lot of great mentors as coaches. I mean, that's the way I got into athletics, coaching, playing, being an AD. My high school football coach was a tremendous leader, still is. He runs the master's leadership program at Concordia University. So, I mean, from him to my college football coach, Gene Murphy, Jim Kuhnow, just great leaders. And we're able to inspire us to get the most out of us. Because I'd say we didn't have a ton of blue chip athletes. Definitely was not one of them. But we were well coached and we had resilience. We were disciplined and we had mental toughness and grit. So we could get the job done and we were able to go win championships. But, I watched a documentary with Mike Krzyzewski and saw an article with him saying I had to change the way I was coaching and adjust with the times where, you know, maybe the way that I was coaching Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley, you know, isn't the same way I'm coaching Zion Williamson. And that's 20, 30 plus years of coaching experience. And one of the best, if not the best college basketball coach saying, yes, this is Duke. Yes, I'm Mike Krzyzewski, but yeah, I still had to adjust to get with the times and, you know, understand this is a different generation of student athletes that are raised by different parents, have a different set of expectations, et cetera. And so I was able to see that coaching at a junior high, coaching at a college, coaching in high school, where it's like, okay, you know, the Bobby Knight style of my way or the highway isn't going to fly. You know, you want to be able to build relationships with students, number one, to impact their lives, but also as a coach, you want them to stay in your program if they're an impactful player. So being able to build a relationship is number one. I think that's the biggest thing. And I have actually found in my role as an athletic director, I look at myself as a servant leader as I work with different coaches and parents and students, because I think it's important to build a relationship with my coaches. And I'm not the, it's my way or the highway, but it's more so this is our thing. I'm going to learn from you and we're going to do this and build it together. And I take feedback from my coaches all the time because I'm not going to think of everything and I'm not perfect. And so that partnership and that vulnerability, I think, is important in creating a relationship to where coaches are like, oh, this guy's approachable. You know, he doesn't come across like a know-it-all or like he has all the answers. And my coaches all the time have great ideas and we run with them because it's our thing. It's a team. Just as much as we're playing a sport, I tell my coaches, it's team sports and we're a team. So this is our sport, is running the athletic department together and being successful.
Yeah, perfect. I want to unpack that area of focus kind of bit by bit. So I think to start for me, as we look at your area of focus, knowing you PhD guys are all about definitions, help us understand what we mean when we say resilience.
So resilience basically is the ability to fail and get up and keep going and try again and try again and try again. That's at its most base level, that is resilience. Failing and having the will and determination to get back up and keep trying. And, you know, what we see or what I've seen, there's some students that are like, oh, you know what? This is too hard. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go back to video games. And it's like, really? You're actually really talented. And you're going to shut it down and hang it up.
Right. How much of your work actually includes growing intrinsic motivation in student athletes?
That is such a great question, because I've looked at extrinsic motivation, because I feel like coaches play a big role in that. And something that I'm working to unpack is the intrinsic motivation. With being a coach and you see a kid that's just like, he just doesn't want it. Like, how do I make you want it? Because I can say all that I can say, but if you don't want it, I can't want it for you. I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges, is where kind of resiliency meets intrinsic motivation. Do you have either of them? And if you don't have intrinsic motivation, are you going to be resilient? Because stuff has to be hard for you to be resilient, because you're not going to win every time. It's not always going to be easy, and neither is life. And as we know, athletics is just a microcosm to life, and you get to learn that on the base level in athletics and then apply it to life as you get older. But I've seen sometimes there's nothing that you can say as a coach to make a kid want it. Either you do or you don't. I kind of look at Gino Auriemma at UConn, where he's like, you know, I think that he's a really good coach. He's very tough, but his players that play for him, they love him. And I think that he does a really good job in building resilience in his athletes because he's tough. And you can be tough and still be a servant leader. It's like being tough but fair. Mm-hmm. And just because I'm tough on you doesn't mean I don't love you or I don't like you, because I'm being tough on you because I want the best for you. And I see the potential. And I know if I don't put you in these tough situations that you won't develop. And you may not develop grit, mental toughness, and resilience. So when we're playing in the national championship and the game's on the line, you're not going to fold, because this is too hard. Their defense is too hard, and I can't break the press. Yeah. You've been through that in practice, and I've put you through it mentally and physically to develop you so that you are prepared for those moments so that you can go be great. And I think that is what is important. However, this day and age, we see a lot that parents want to make it easy for their kids. Like, you know what? I don't want you to have to go through the same struggles and challenges that I went through. And parents really want to clear the path for their child so that they can go be successful. However, when you clear the path, you eliminate the character building moments and the failures that will inevitably ensue. And you shield your child from that so that when they get into high school or as they grow up and become an adult, they don't know how to deal with failure and they lack resilience.
Yeah. Well, I also think that by clearing the path, you also remove that natural filter of intrinsic motivation, because kids do get further down the line in the short term, which is great, air quotes, but then they don't have the friction moment until it's too late. That's why I think it's so genius about your area of focus, because you're sidestepping the conundrum of intrinsic motivation and saying you can be resilient and build resiliency through being other oriented, through servant leadership. Is that what you're getting at in your area of focus?
I'm focusing on coach servant leadership from the lens of, you have your Bobby Knight, you have your John Wooden. John Wooden, I'd call him a servant leader, because he was tough, held his guys accountable. And, you know, guys tell the stories that Coach Wooden didn't yell at us, he didn't curse at us, but we knew he meant business. He was serious and he wanted the best for us. And at the end of the day, you see the work that he put in, and it produced the many championships and the successes that they had. And I believe it was because obviously he was disciplined. He held his students accountable. And he was a servant leader. And so I think those discipline, accountability, and servant leadership are so important, because as you talk about some coaches or parents, the discipline and the accountability are not present. And those are key factors to building resilience, building self-discipline, mental toughness, and grit. And so if you can't hold kids accountable and help them with their discipline, then like they don't really have a shot. And that also will roll back to, you know, coaches trying to clear the path or parents trying to clear the path for kids. Typically, we see those programs lack a lot of discipline and accountability. And the kids are good and have a lot of talent, but there's the on and off the court type of stuff that you deal with. And, you know, like at the end of the day, as a coach, what are we here for? Are we going to be willing to sacrifice the W to teach a kid a lesson and know that this highly touted player might leave my school because I sat him?
Right. It sounds to me that you're defining servant leadership in similar in that way of almost being the model of creating a safe, warm space and holding people accountable. Is that right? That it's this kind of modeling moment of like, well, we have to, now you have to sit because this happened, but it can be delivered in a very warm and this is for the best kind of way. Is that right?
Absolutely. I've experienced that where, you know, you got your star quarterback and, you know, he slams his helmet down or spikes the football. And it's like, she comes stand next to me for a little bit. We're going to learn this lesson. And it's wild because that was one of my first coaching experiences where that happened, and I sat the kid and his dad came up to me after the game and thanked me for doing that. And which was also bizarre because for me, I'm like, that's awesome for that dad to do that. That's great. How many dads are really going to do that? In this day and age, it's the dad is going off on the coach for sitting his son because you have now ruined my son's opportunity at getting a scholarship, at setting a record, being a newspaper, et cetera, instead of, hey, you know what? You took the time to teach my son that this was not the right thing to do. He didn't represent himself right. He didn't represent his team. He didn't represent you as his coach, and he didn't represent his family right. And so he was held accountable. Thank you for doing that. Never had that issue again. And now this kid's preparing for the NFL draft, which is wild. But that's the stuff that you have to do, in my opinion, as a coach, because at the end of the day, like, we are teaching this kid about life. Like, this is a game of life that we are teaching the kids through sports. But if you're not willing to actually teach them about life and you're just here for wins, this is probably isn't the place for you.
Yeah. Again, looking at building resilience in student athletes through servant leadership, and as we're learning about your work in that and then trying to translate it to action for your average coach or AD, I got to imagine that if we're defining resilience as the ability to keep trying even in the face of failure, a big piece of what you just talked about is our relationship to failure, right? How much, I guess, of this process would you say are you thinking is about relationship to failure and coaching people through that?
I think it is all applicable because we're going to fail. And as a coach, as a leader, I say, if I'm coaching your kid, this is the best place for him to be, and it's the best place for him to fail. I would rather your son or daughter fail here with me so that I can support them and they have this safety net of us here as coaches so that we can prepare them for life after high school. Because failure after high school is much different. You're an adult. And so come fail in high school. Let's learn from it. Let's get better. Let's be resilient. And let's learn what not to do. And it's important for coaches to hold kids accountable when it comes to this stuff. And so as a servant leader, like, that relationship with your student is so important, especially in this day and age, because there's so many different things that these kids are dealing with that I didn't have to deal with. So kids knowing that they can fail and you're still going to support them and be with them and you're not going to forget about them is very important. And some of my own experiences have played into this research, because when I was in high school, I was a starter in basketball, playing for our varsity basketball team. I got injured. We got a transfer student in. Transfer took my spot at being the starting point guard. And so, coach never said anything to me. I'm just sitting on the bench waiting for my ankle to rehab. And after I'm fully rehabbed, I go from being the starting point guard to playing garbage minutes, and the coach never said a word to me. And so I was so hurt and offended, but didn't know how to articulate that at the time. So I took that experience into my own coaching repertoire, because, you know, once you're sitting on the end of the bench and the coach doesn't say anything to you, you feel like you don't matter. And if a coach can have a conversation with you and has a relationship with you to be able to say, like, look, this is where I see your role on the team, or this is where I see you right now, or this is what's going to happen. That pays huge dividends to kids.
Yeah. Yep. So with the remaining time, have we zeroed in the areas that you think are the most important? Or is there anything that you're just like, I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet kind of thing?
Honestly, we've hit my major focus areas, because I think that accountability and discipline and relationship, those are really the big three for me. Mm-hmm. Because if you have those, the relationship being number one, because if you have a relationship, you can hold a kid accountable. Yeah. And I have kids here that some teachers or coaches would say, oh man, you have that kid in your class. And I'm like, he's great in my class. Like, what? You have an issue with him? And I feel like I have a relationship with the kid, and, you know, I treat them with respect and they treat you with respect. And like, hey, I'm here to help you grow and be the best person that you can be. Now, not every kid wants to accept that. Not every kid wants to be that, but I'm going to hold you accountable to doing so. Because if we lower the bar, they'll hit it. Yep. If we raise the bar, they'll hit it. So whatever we set it is what they'll do.
That's great. We'll circle back to that, but you mentioned the bar. And so I actually want to swing back over to, with resilience and coaches and athletic leaders, teachers, anyone really trying to help build that in student athletes. What have you found is helpful when trying to strike that balance between setting this high bar, but then also what we talked about, creating the safe space to fail? So, you know, how do you think through and talk about that tension between setting a really high bar, but also creating the safety to miss it, if you will?
Open communication, letting kids know this is going to be hard and you might not make it, and I'm going to hold you accountable to make it, and you're going to get better, and you might fail. We might lose games. That doesn't mean we're not going to go play the next day. We are. So, like, let's work. Let's get better. I'm a huge proponent of that, because that means that kids are intrinsically motivated and want to get better to succeed for themselves and their teams. I remember being in high school and, like, we had to run the lines like under 24 seconds or under 25 seconds. And that's hard. And if you guys don't make it, we're going to run it again. It's like, I hate this guy. But like, now we can full court press a team all game and not run out of breath, and we see that we're in better shape. Like, our fitness is better than theirs. And same thing playing football, we're gonna outwork people in the weight room and we're gonna be technically sound. It's gonna be difficult, and our coaches are going to hold us accountable to being perfect, knowing that we're not going to be perfect every time. Mm-hmm. But if we strive for perfection, you'll be really good. You might not be perfect, but yeah, I think you'll be pretty good. But you have to, in my opinion, leave that bar up so that they can continue to strive for it and reach it. And if they don't reach it, but they're doing their best to get there, that's huge. And then that kind of rolls into effort, because if you're not even putting in the effort and you're not willing to put in the time to get better and reach the bar, then you're probably not intrinsically motivated, and this might not be the program for you.
That's awesome. The other thing I wanted to circle back on is servant leadership. And you mentioned three really important things. It sounds like you have a pretty clear vision of what your definition of servant leadership is. When you look at your definition of servant leadership as building relationships, holding people accountable, and helping people find discipline, where do you help a coach start with something as simple as building a relationship with a student athlete to then earn the ability to hold a player accountable?
That's a great question. I think it starts with time. And that's tough, because while a parent or somebody would say, what do you mean time is tough? You guys are spending 2 to 4 hours a day with our kids, and how do you not have a relationship with my kid? Say, you don't see everything else that goes into being a head coach or a coach in a program. That's why people typically, you see the assistant coaches have really good relationships and the head coach may not. But the first thing I would say with coaches is be intentional about making some time to connect with your players, whether if it's just talking to them or pulling a kid aside. I remember my head football coach in high school, he go down the stretch and lines and have something to say to each player and exchange a quick little 15-second conversation with them and then go to the next player. And like, that's impactful. And he took the time to do that. From that to various leadership things, or, you know, being in the weight room together and just attempting to take the time to talk to your players, coach them up, and sometimes talk to them about stuff that is not football or not the sport. Like, how are you doing as a person?
Yeah, I think that's such a great like blanket way to just remember like the how are you doing as a person element. Another thing you said earlier too that I think is appropriate to remind coaches and folks is if you authentically and earnestly are saying, I'm here to help you be better at what you want to do, and then invite that player, student athlete to co-author what that is, what is that you want to do, what, who do you want to be, and let them say it. And if your player's goals are too inflated, part of helping them is bring those goals down to an achievable bar, right? But that was another huge one that I think you mentioned about. That's a great way to build a relationship.
Absolutely. I tell our students, you get to write the story. And when the colleges come to ask questions about you, I'm not going to lie, because integrity is too important to me. And so you are writing this story of when Chip Kelly calls and says, tell me about this guy. I know he has great talent, great skills on the field. What's he like off the field? How are his grades? Okay. It's either going to be, hey, he's great. He's an awesome leader off the field. He's a great kid on campus and he has really good grades. Or if it's something else, I said, whatever that story is, I'm going to tell the truth. The pages are blank right now. And you get to be the author of that story. And whatever you write is what I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell the truth, but I also want to help you achieve your goal. Whatever we need to do to get there, let me know so that we can support you. Because the biggest thing to me is being able to support a kid to help him reach their goals.
That's it for another episode of the Leading Edge podcast. Till next time, head over to leadingedge.online where you'll find more content and conversations to help you build a more successful program. Thank you for listening, and as always, stay sharp.